Well, have you gotten into the makeover craze that's across our country? I was searching on the internet, put in the word makeover. 658 million sites were identified. Yeah, you heard the number. 658 million sites that deal with some kind of makeover. Ranging from guitar, dog, dolls, to bathrooms. Oh, and the one up in Bristol, Tennessee says theirs is a miraculous makeover of your bathroom. Not certain how the miraculous comes into that. Kitchens and outdoor places are fixer-upper, do your whole house. One site showed that a Pell City school system got a makeover this July. There's a picture of one of the rooms that they won a makeover for. They got two rooms and a teacher lounge completely redone by a company that was offering schools a free makeover. But more than all these kind of makeovers is the personal makeovers. The personal makeovers, you know, where they show you the way you were and the way you become. This is a picture of a principal in Greensboro whose family was in New York for spring break this April. And they were pulled off of the streets in an ambush makeover by Today Show on NBC. Pictures taken on, you're right, I guess, were before the right as the show began, and pictures taken afterwards were at the end of the show. Makeovers. Kind of started, I guess, several years ago with the Glamour Studios. And I found that there are still a few of those around. I first learned about Glamour Studios not because I went, but I had a young sister-in-law. And still today, Jennifer's picture that had to have been 15 years ago or longer, is there in the room where we stay when we go to see Gina's dad, where she had gone in and gotten a different outfit and a hairdo and makeup and brought home a glamour shot. But now commercials are all over the place showing you the before and after shots, right? If you get on this diet plan, if you get on this exercise plan, and shows you how it's going to change your life, your body makeup, or your hair do makeup. But then more recently, there's been a new industry related to the makeover. It's called impressions management. Impressions management. And it's based on the reality that most of us are nervous about making a first impression. So the one who started this is going to teach you how to dress right and how to get yourself fixed up hair-wise and makeup-wise so that when you go to a job interview or go to a place for the first time, you make a great first impression because you feel good about the way you look outside. It makes you, they say, feel good on the way you are inside. And there's some reality to that. It's all attempt to make us feel better about ourselves. Well, you know, you can change the way you look outside, but if you don't change the way you are inside, you're not going to really change. So this morning, we're starting a series for this month of August called Miraculous Makeovers. And then we're going to look at four persons who experienced the miracle of God's grace transforming their lives. and the makeover that God did in them. And the first one, when we are introduced to him, we know he's a short guy and he's a rich guy. And Jesus doesn't change his height-wise, but he gives him a change inside. His name is Zacchaeus. And Jesus gave Zacchaeus a miraculous makeover inside. I invite you to turn with me to the 19th chapter of Luke. Of course, it'll be on the screen as well. Or you can follow along in your church app. For those of you who are new, there is instructions about downloading the church app. And the message outline that's found in the bulletin is also found online. And it tells you how to get on our app online. Hear the reading of God's Word. He, that is Jesus, went to Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was welcome and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and say, "He has gone to be guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Now, when we first introduced to Zacchaeus, his height, his challenging shortness is identified, and the fact that he is rich. You see, Zacchaeus had achieved something that many in our culture are looking for: money. He's achieved something that many today long for: wealth. Wealth. It's sad, but we've kind of made wealth the goal of life. There was a survey that was conducted of college students earlier this century. And the survey found that the majority of college students in this century, their number one goal is to become well off financially. And they have chosen their degree course not based on any sense of calling, not based necessarily on their giftedness, but on where they are more likely to become well off financially. No wonder so many of that generation are still perplexed and searching, because not many professions lead to well off financially instantly. Number one goal. Some of you may remember when the television show came out, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The opening show set a record for first-time viewers of all shows that's ever come on television. Why in the world would it set a record and last 17 years? Because it's our culture. We think that money, that wealth, is the answer to life's questions. And so we search for it. And yet in our text, wealth did not bring Zacchaeus peace and contentment. He was one of the richest men in the wealthy town of Jericho. He's singled out for his wealth. And yet he seems to be searching. He's empty. Notice that wealth didn't bring him any friends. Nobody wanted to be near him. Just set this picture. Try to picture it in your mind. They hear that Jesus is coming, this miracle worker. And everybody wants to see him. Everybody turns out. And Zacchaeus wants to see him. But nobody's going to let Zacchaeus in the line. Because he hadn't built any relationships. Wealth hadn't satisfied the deep hungers of his life. He's searching. Howard Hughes, when he passed away, was said to be one of the wealthiest men in the world. But those who were his caregivers in that time frame said he was the most miserable man in the world too. He had no real relationships. His money that he could buy anything he wanted hadn't satisfied the deep needs of his life. Because wealth won't do it. There's something more. So here's Zacchaeus, this wealthy man, so desiring to see Jesus that he climbs a tree in order to get a look at him. Why? Why? Let's put it this way. Think of the wealthiest people that you know of in this county. Can you get a picture of who they are? Can you imagine them climbing a tree to watch a parade of people come in just to get a look at some celebrity? They may try to buy their way to the best seat, but climbing a tree, he's desperate. He's hungering. Why? Why do you think Zacchaeus was so eager to see Jesus? Could it be that he was empty inside? That all his money and all resources hadn't satisfied the deep hungers of his life? Bruce Larson had an interesting comment in his commentary on this. He said that Jesus came in to Jericho, looking for the most ready and open person there. The one who's most ready for a life transformation. And though Zacchaeus seemed the least pious and least religious, he was the most hungry for the new life God had for him. He was the most hungry. Because all of his wealth and earnings hadn't satisfied. There's a reason for this, and it's this. Human beings were created for a relationship with God. Every one of us were created for a relationship with God. And nothing in this world will satisfy that deep human need in our lives. To connect, to reconnect with God. Aldous Huxley put it this way, there's a God-shaped blank in modern people's lives, which only the shape of God can fill. St. Augustine expressed it this way centuries earlier, the human heart is restless, but till it finds its rest in God. There's that hunger, there's that desire in your life and my life. We might ignore it for a while, but it's that yearning to reconnect with our Creator. But you see, sin separated us. Sin broke that relationship with God. And the reason Jesus came is to reestablish that relationship, to reconcile us, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. To reconcile means to reestablish a relationship that prior existence and was intended to exist came. And so here's Zacchaeus, hungering and looking for Jesus. But I want you to see the interesting play here. Zacchaeus did see Jesus looking down from the tree. But Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him and offered him a relationship. Offered a relationship. Notice what the Scripture said in verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now, think about that for a moment. There's a crowd of people. That's the reason he's in the trees. They're all wanting to see Jesus. They're all longing probably for a miracle and wanting to be the one closest to Jesus. And who does Jesus single out? The one up in the tree. And he knows his name. He calls him by name, saying that he knows him. He knows what's going on in his life. He knows the hunger and thirst of his life. And says, Zacchaeus, come down. What an act of grace. What an act of grace. It's a great example of the definition of grace, unconditional acceptance. That grace that accepts us not because of what we've done, but because of the love of the one who extends it. You see, he didn't put any conditions on going to his house. He didn't say, if you straighten out your life, I'll come for a visit. He says, come on down. I'm going home with you. I'm accepting you just as you are. You can't change it anyway, but I can. That's grace. Unconditional acceptance. A grace that accepts us just as we are. You may know the story of that great camp meeting song, revival song, Just As I Am, written by Charlotte Elliott. It's been the closing song for Billy Graham Association Crusades for decades. Charlotte Elliott was struggling with her relationship with God. And she went to see her preacher and told her preacher that she wanted to accept Christ. What must you do? It says, just confess your sin and receive Him. And she says, well, will He receive me just as I am? And she responded. He responded. He'll accept you just as you are and no other way. And that night she went and began to pen the words of that great song. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Friends, that's the only way any of us come. It's not by our wealth. It's not by our makeup in life. It's by grace, where we come just as we are and find He accepts us and forgives us. That's what Zacchaeus discovered. And could it be that Jesus is calling your name today? Could it be that you're feeling a little cut off today? Could it be that there's a burden in your soul? Could it be that you're carrying around some baggage that God can set you free from, just as Zacchaeus? And He wants you to come to Him just as you are. And leave the burdens with Him. Leave the struggles with Him. Give it to Him. But notice here, grace must be received for it to make any difference in our lives. Grace must be received. See, when Jesus called Zacchaeus down, Zacchaeus had a decision to make. Was he going to accept the invitation? And that's our decision too. Are we going to accept His invitation? Are we going to come and give our lives to Him? And the Scripture says, so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. Sounds like he was excited about this grace. He hurried down. And I don't know when he had this miraculous makeover, but sometime between the call and going home with Jesus, he's transformed. Because notice the next thing that Zacchaeus says. Verse half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Now that's a changed heart. Corrie ten Boom, some of you know that name, who lived through the concentration camps of Nazi Germany and has shared her story. The basic story is in a book called The Hiding Place and a movie based on it. In one of her teaching times, she said that when light comes on in a dark room, you can't ignore it. It's visible. And then she added this: if a corpse were to rise from its coffin and live again, there would be no need to hang a sign about the neck to tell the world there has been a change. It would be obvious. And so it is, friends, when Christ's grace gets our lives, it becomes obvious. It's recognizable because we become new people, new creations. Jesus called it a new birth when talking to Nicodemus. That the old life is died and buried and cleansed in the grace of Jesus, and we become a new creation. And the result is a miraculous makeover where we begin to live differently. That's what happened to Zacchaeus that day. And that's what God offers every one of us. Some of you may remember the old television show, or you catch it on MeTV and some of the reruns today, Father Knows Best. Lauren Chapin played the part of Kathy Anderson in Father Knows Best, the little energetic, full of life girl. But her real life was far from that. She was raised in a broken home. Both parents were alcoholics. And when Father Knows Best ran its cycle, she couldn't find a job. She couldn't stay focused on her education. For the next several years, she moved from one broken relationship to another broken relationship. She got involved with drugs. She had 8 miscarriages in a period of about 10 to 15 years. She was in and out of a mental hospital and also jail. And then at the age of 38, Lauren Chapin heard Jesus call her name. She gave her life to Jesus Christ and experienced a transformation. And she shares in her testimony these words: all my life I've wanted to be loved. God's love is the complete love. And I think that's what I was looking for. She came of an evangelist for Jesus who redeemed her from the pits and gave her a miraculous makeover. Is Jesus calling your name today? Well, it doesn't matter what the pit is that you're dealing with. He can give you a new life and give you a new beginning. There's a prayer at the bottom of your message notes that can help you in that journey. But one of the ways that Wesley told us, John Wesley, that we experience that grace is through one of the means of grace called Holy Communion. And we're about to share in this sacrament of grace. Would you join me as we pray? Father God, I thank you for your amazing love, your acceptance, your grace that's always available. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved us so much, that you paid the price for our sins, that you took our burden upon yourself, and that you died and rose again for our redemption. We thank you that on that night that you were facing the cross, betrayal, that in the Passover you took the bread. You broke it. And after giving thanks to the Father, you gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." And then you took the cup of redemption. And after blessing it, and you gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And Lord, we pray that in this moment now you will take these offerings of bread and wine and make them be for us the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we partake and take this bread and cup, come and fill us anew with your grace. Come and give us a new birth, new life. Help us to give you whatever it is that's holding us captive, Lord, and find your victory, new life, abundant life that's in Jesus, and give us that miraculous makeover. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.